Hey, good morning. Let's turn to the Bible, Proverbs 4. Let's start with a word of prayer, chapter 4. Heavenly Father, we're just really thankful for this morning that you bring us together in fellowship and in sharing your message. We ask that you speak to us through your work, and may your work continue working us throughout the day as well. Continue to enlighten us this morning, reveal to us what you want us to hear. May all those who have ear will hear your message, God. Thank you, God. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's turn to Proverbs 4. I have been going through the book of Proverbs one by one and section by section. So this morning, I'm going to cover Proverbs chapter 4, 10 to 19. Verse 10, "Hear my son and accept my saying, and the years of your life will be many. I have directed you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in upright path. When you walk and your step will not be impeded, and if you run, you will not stumble. Take hold of the instructions. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not proceed in the way of the evil man. Avoid it. Do not pass by it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they cannot sleep until they do evil, and they are robbed of sleep until they make someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know over what they stumble." So, continue on chapter 4. The last last session that we went through last week is verse 1 to 9. And we see the demarcation, the key word marking the two different divisions is starting with the instruction, "Hear, O son." So we see that, it's turning into another theme. Just a recap, for verse 1 to 9, where the father who actually learned from the grandfather how to walk in God's way, and through his experience, he's teaching his son, you need to acquire wisdom. You need to get wisdom with everything you have. You need to, with everything that costs you, you have to acquire wisdom, and it's emphasizing getting wisdom. And then now we turn to, verse 10 to 19. You go into a new theme. It's still talking about wisdom, but it seems that, looking at the lingual and the things that going through the language, it's talk about walking in the way of wisdom. And very, very interestingly, even it's from, after you get the wisdom, you actually have to walk in the way. And it talk about that this is a journey of you, how you live your eternal life. And all the imagery that in this particular session from 10 to 19, it talk about, if you look at the text, you talk about the path, the walk, the verb that's being used, like you walk, you stumble, you proceed, you pass on. It's all the imagery is talking about how you walk in the ways of God, how you walk in the ways of the wisdom. And also in here, you talk about two different paths. Obviously, one path is like walking in the way of wisdom. The other path is walking with the way of the wicked. And so you can see that, in this particular passage, it's actually first addressed from verse 10 to, 10 to 13. It talk about, walking in the way of wisdom. And from 14 to 17, it talk about, when you walk in the way of wicked, what will happen to you. And then 18, 19 is like a conclusions in these particular sections. So this is like a brief overview on, this particular passage. And I just want to take you, going through it this morning, quickly, verse by verse. Again, from verse 10 to 11, it continue with the instruction of the father. The father is saying, this is the instruction that, the instruction of father giving from verse 10. It say that, accept my saying, and your years of your life will be many. And this, if you go back to verse, chapter 2 of the proverb, I talk about, it add on to, if you have wisdom, it add on to your years, and the years of your life. And here is not just talking about, your life journey, like from cradle to when you die, but it's really talking about your eternal life, the life in Christ. And it It talks about that, you know, have wisdom that you add on to the years and the fullness of your salvations. And verse 11 is, I have directed you in the way of wisdom and I led you in the way of the upward path. And this is continue with the theme of the fathers giving instructions to the son. And when we come to, you know, verse 12, that it talks about that when you walk, your step will not be impeded. Or in other places, in the translation, it's called, it says stumble. And interestingly, it talks about stumble is not, you know, us trip. Here is you a passive voice. It's talk about that is be stumble, that something is stumbling you. And that we can look at it in the later verses 14 to 17. We realize that it's the wicked one that caused people to stumble. And the word stumble or the impeded is not just like the meaning is not just you trip. It also carried the from the original text, it carried the meaning of you become weaker. Not just that you trip, but it's impeded, like, you know, in as translated in NASB, it's like you become weaker, you're fatigued, or you brought to a ruin. And it caused, the reason for it is because of the wickedness in life, and also talk about the, you know, the moral things in life. And in verse 13, in one little verse, it's actually used, the author here use three imperative. It's like to emphasize how important that you need to take hold of the instruction. Here the instruction is not just the father instruction, it's talk about the way of wisdom. Because we gather from the early passage that the way of wisdom is actually coming from the father. And who got the way of wisdom is actually originally from God. So here the instruction is not just your earthly father telling you to do thing or not do thing, but here is talking about a generation passing down how to live a life, you know, to in according to God's will and God's purposes. And here he say that, you know, take hold of wisdom. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. And here the author emphasized, so important that you have to get hold of it. Do not let go and hold tight. And if you, I can bring you to the attention to, you know, to this particular verse in Ezekiel 18:26-27. It actually say that, you know, give the righteous let go of their righteousness, they will fall into death. So the author here is like drawing, you know, references to other passages, emphasizing to us that, you know, if you let go of God's way, you're going to die. Like, die and may not be a physical death, like some you probably would, right? So, like, say, involving drugs or alcohol and things that are harmful to your life, it causes shortening of life. But also, it talks about the eternal life, that is a permanent separation from God. If you do not walk in the way of wisdom or way of God, that there is this eternal death that is looming over you as well. So, that's two aspects of death that is being spoken in these particular verses. And the next sessions that I said early on is the next session talking about the wicked way. And here again, you know, just now we see like the author like using three imperatives, like don't do that, get hold of it, guard it. It's so important, you grab hold of it. And here you can sense also the urgency as well from the passage that, you know, when you come to the way of wicked, do not even go into it. And if you look at, it's quite interesting, if you look at like verse 14, he used two imperatives. Do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not proceed in the way of the evil man. And then on verse 15, it's kind of like a double up of the imperative. Like, you know, have four directives saying, avoid it, do not pass by it. Turn away from it and pass on. Again, I think you talk about the ways of life or our walk with God. It's not a once and forever fix it all things. You know, a lot of time that we talk about, you know, salvation, even conversions. You probably heard about testimony. People was walking in the wicked way, it was they're living in sin, and then they come to meet God, and transformation happened in life. And it's sometimes we just so focus on that particular point as a life being transformed. But sometimes, as we continue walking in the ways of God, you know that life journey just started when the day of conversion, when you accepted Jesus Christ in your life. That's still this whole journey, this path of become more holy, and we call it sanctification, the way to become more like God. And it's almost as every day you wrestle with things, temptation in life or struggle in life, and whether you still maintain your way or your walk with God. And here, the temptation is right there, and we heard about many messages about temptation. It's like the roaring lion ready to pounce on you any time. And here, it is like emphasizing how dangerous. Don't even go into that, because bit by bit, you're losing your turf. And if you have, like, you know, any one of you been, you know, in the past, like, struggle with temptation or sin, you know that, you know, once you have the first bite, like, you might have resisted temptation for so long, and then you have the first bite, and then everything seems to, like, you seem to lose grip of it until you really, you know, committed to God and just really grab hold of God again. But then, you know, for those that you probably can identify that, you know, do not even enter into it. And here, the offer is like, do not enter the path. Like, don't even go there. And don't even walk in any way of evil man. And on 15, it's actually saying that, you know, do not pass. If you are on that way, turn away from it. It says that avoid it, do not pass by it. Don't even get close to it. And then if you're on it, turn away from it and passing on, continue your journey, persevere in your way of wisdom. And then verse 16 and 17 is give the reasons that particularly about the harmfulness of evil one. And let me read it out for you. For they cannot sleep unless they do evil, and they are robbed of sleep unless they make someone stumble, for they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. It talks about some basic thing in life. It's about sleep, eat, drink, and I think one aspect it talks about that I can use the addictions as an example. For people that, you know, who are addicted to substance abuse or, you know, others, you know, alcohol or all these, it's actually affecting your body. Like, it's more than just, you know, we talk about that is a moral thing, but it's for certain vice that it's actually affecting your body. And here it is highlighted three, you know, the sleep, eat, drink. It's like some basic form. And you can't even sleep until you talk about the wickedness is so bad that they rob your sleep until you make someone stumble. You're causing someone stumble. And you talk about that darkness, that evilness, that eating you into to a point that of no return, to a way that you actually dragging other people joining you. And it's kind of like this image of the triad, and, you know, they get people to, you know, to do drugs and stuff like that. And it's talk about that, you know, they will not have rest until they get someone stumble. And I think that's two aspects, is that it talk about one aspect is that the evilness is actually affecting our life, particularly, you know, addictions. Even like this day, like, you probably heard about internet addiction, you go online, you don't sleep. You heard about like children or youth that have been on online game forever, and they actually, there are a few cases that people are reported dead because they were just nonstop, just couldn't stop. And that's affecting the physical body. But also we talk about the nature of the evil that, or the evil one that we are facing, about temptations, that our vice that is like tempting you day and night. They are not resting. And so here the warning is, don't even go near there. It's not good for you. And verse 18 and 19, it comes to a conclusion. It's just a quick wrap up of this particular instruction from the Father. It say that the path of the righteousness is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. It talk of these images that if you walk in the righteousness, you will coming from a darkness, a dim light, you know, the light of dawn, morning light, going it only get brighter and brighter until the full day. Like, it only get brighter as against of the afternoon sun, where it get dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. So it's this strong image that if you walk in righteousness, the more you walk into it, the more that you see God, the glory of God, and also, you know, the piety, the pureness that you will experience kind of increasing as the day go by, as your journey of faith continue, that you see more like the salvation, the well-being, like it can only get better. So this is, you know, a final, you know, conclusion is that when you walk in the way of righteousness, your life can only get better. And by contrast, it talk about the way of the wickedness is like darkness, and they do not know over what they stumble. The word darkness here, if you find, you know, the same word in the other scripture, it appears in Exodus, where talking about the gloomy darkness of Egypt, where, you know, and also in Deuteronomy, verse 28-29, it talk about this particular verse talk about, you know, darkness of the blind, who groom at noon and cannot find their way. It means that you're so blind by it that even at the date noontime, the brightest time of the day, you still cannot see that where you're heading. And it's so true that especially, you know, when we talk to people who do not know God, you know, you talk about faith, talk about Jesus and all this, and talk about sin, and a lot of people will say, I haven't done major thing, like wrong thing in life, and they're so ready to forgive themselves, like not forgive themselves, not even consider they are living in sin, or all this, because they simply do not know that they are walking in sin, and it is so. I think, you know, for my experience, like, you know, and at the time, you know, as you become Christians, and the experience is that as we continue to walk closer to God, when we are listening to God's word, and the conscience, it become clear and clear that, oh, there are certain practices that I do in work, or the certain way that I talk to my clients are different. I could avoid white lies, but because of convenience of things, and I was, like, you know, saying all the white lie thing. But as you continue to walk closer to God, it just, the Holy Spirit just remind you, you know, whenever that is like you a temptation to certain things that you know that God is not pleasing, the Holy Spirit is in you actually reminded you not to do it, and it get better as you obey the voice of God. Every time that, you know, a temptation come or challenges come, and you obey the voice of God, you can see your way is getting brighter and brighter. But on the other hand, that if you do not listen to the voice of God of telling you to turn away to wickedness, your walk become dimmer and dimmer, and your conscience become darker and darker. And you do not, sometimes you do not even see that you are doing some things wrong. And here it say that you stumble, they don't even know that you stumble. And that's very sad. And last Sunday, I guess most of you guys was here with Pastor O's sermon, right? And he was really upset with one of his disciples in the state. And he was really upset because he saw on the Facebook that his disciple, who established his church in the United States, have established a hip-hop lose weight club. And then people lose weight and they gave glory to God, and he was, for him it's such a trivial thing, and like, what is going on? Like, does God have greater plan in life? And what is this bunch of people doing, you know, celebrating losing weight, where they can just fast, or they just, you know, on diet and then lose weight, but instead of, like, you know, doing things like that. It's like, it kind of something reminded me, like, when I was looking at this passage, is sometimes, you know, you lose your ground, you don't even know about it. It because, like, it become your, the light of God in your life is dimmer and dimmer, and you are reducing, you know, the things of God, you know, into something insignificant. And I don't know how it comes to that way, we don't know, but it's just like, it's when we look at it, it's like, oh, this is so odd. But yet, people are celebrating, you know, on Facebook and praising God for losing weight. And it's a kind of like, for us, it's like, hey, what's going on? Something is not quite right there. And it seems that, you know, there's some blindness is there. And I was talking to Trish Donaldson, another speaker that we have the other week, and she was also sharing. I just want to be we tell the story, because I think sometimes the traps of the enemy is so subtle. For her, is that because of disappointment in God, because prayer not being answered, so she have a frustration. So she take her moment, time out from God, kind of, and she turned to TV. And got sucked into TV, watching movies and stuff like that. And you know, as soon as you say that, it's like I can almost identify myself, because, like, you know, finished day of work and working at church and all this, going home, it's just like, oh, I want to relax. I don't want to do anything. And I go into the internet and I'll watch Korean drama, you know, and then episode after episode, and then time, and it's like, oh, so tired. Next day, you know, get yourself really drained out. And when she shared the message, I was like, God, I know this is me. And it is really subtle. And also, you know, if you look at, you know, even family structures. I don't know you guys, but you guys probably grow up with TV and all this. I remember, like, in the younger days, we still have TV, but like TV may not be the dominance of life, right? You're sitting around a dinner table and then you have your TV on. So your conversation, really, there's no conversation other than talk about what's going on in the TV. And so it's not a horizontal dialogue with your family. And you kind of lost the contact. And then you got sucked into dramas, because it's have plot, it keep you going, and then you lost the track of time and you lost it. Maybe God have a better time, like, thing for you to do in that life, or maybe God have a message to speak to you at the quiet of night. But yet, you know, a lot of time we turn to TV, or I'm not saying that you do not have relaxation, but sometimes that you are so sucked into something that actually draw you away from God. And so this morning, I don't know, like, you know, Tuesday morning, it's a bit early to think about, like, what is sucking you away from God. It could be, you know, a certain temptation, or it could be even internet. You know, I know that, you know, internet draws us away from work as well. Like, you know, checking your email, and then by the end of it, it's like, oh, I have to do some work. And so this morning, let's gives us, you know, go into the presence of God and just really ask God, you know, first thing in the morning, and ask God, hey, God, what is drawing me away from you? Because your way is the way of wisdom. Your way is the better way. Your ways can only, the way of righteousness can only get better and better. And I do want to walk in a way. But there's sometimes there are traps or temptation that is subtle or even obvious or it's even, you know it already. And just, like, you know, leave it, give it to God and ask God to help us. Because we know that once we start going into the way of wicked, it can only get darker and darker. So thank you, Joseph. Let's have a bit of meditation time as Joseph lead us. And just really ask God to reveal to us. Holy Spirit, just come and stir our heart, God. Let us have the courage to face the things that is drawing us away from you, God. Because you say that you're jealous, God. You're jealous that you do not want any way, any things, any stumbling block that is blocking us from you. So speak to my brother and sister, God.
Let's turn to our community prayer. There's people listed for cancer and looking for transplant. Let's continue to contend for them. So to the next page, for those that who are ill, that is in our families, who do not know God yet, and we just pray, like, let's intercede for their salvations, because so that they will no longer walking in the darkness, they will not stumble without even knowing they are stumbling. Next page, pray for those who suffer from various illness. Actually, this morning, can we actually spend some time really praying for Pastor Eugene and Pastor Carol? They're really not well, and just really content for recovery and God protection over them. Also, this morning, Michelle's grandfather's his funeral he passed away. Really pray that the message being spoken at the funeral, that really reach out to the family as well, because really the ultimate salvation is in God Himself. So let's pray for Michelle, for the family, for this grieving time, for God's peace and protections, and also comfort from God. But also pray that the light of God is shining through for the family as well, especially at a time of this. Let's turn to the next page. Let's continue content for those the names that's on the list, for them to have favor for the interviews or job offer to come through. Let's pray for James. He got there's an offer coming, so let's pray that the offer will be secure and he will have really good term for the job offer that he's going to receive. Really pray for favor of God on him and also the people on the list. Let's turn to today's mission focus. Let's continue to pray for SU Beijing and the Chang's family, Matt and Nate's parents who are serving in the north, and also the brother Robert in Nanjing, Lian in Beijing, Edie's and Chi Chi Ha's kid, and also the churches in China. So let's continue to pray for China. Thank you. Also continue to pray for our staff. You know, everyone, PSM is away on his sabbaticals. So pray for, you know, a good recharging time for him. Pinay is away for his study. He's like cramming like two weeks intense study in the state as well. So pray for God wisdom for him and a good time enjoying his, you know, time with fellows, you know, student. And also pray for our team. And again, Pastor Carol and Pastor Jean not well, so we kind of down, and so just lift up the whole staff and pray that, you know, protection from God and continue discernment and walking in God's way. Let us lift up the worship team, the leaders, and also the AV team, and also the MOP, like the PowerPoint team, and just pray for, you know, they continue to serve with a heart of worship and a servant heart as well. Today, I just want to end with the song that we just were singing just now. It's just like make it a commitment to God to, you know, He is everything in our life, that, you know, apart from Him, we can do nothing. And so let's like finish off with this song again. I just like the lyric saying that, God, have your way in us, God. You have been teaching us, like through the book of Proverbs, that we need to acquire wisdom, we need to acquire you, yourself, we need to acquire the way. And this morning you reminded us that this is a journey, and this journey full of traps that we might, things might cause us stumble, God. But then you're God that who are so gracious that you know that when we come back to you with a repentance heart, really trying to turn away from the wicked way, that you are there to lead us and guide us, God, in the way of wisdom, the path of the righteousness, the upward path of the righteousness, God. So this morning, I lift up my brother and sister to you, God. We just ask you, God, to continue to shine your light through us throughout the day, God, in every decision that we make in work or in family or whatever that they're going to do, you know, today, God, and the many days that are coming. I just pray that your light will come shining through and get brighter and brighter until full day, God. And may our life be a glory to you, God. Thank you, God, and pray all this in Jesus' name. So feel free to stay back and meditate in God's word and in His presence. And have a good day.